Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. If you can recall, we are discussing certain points under the heading Capturing Your Husband's Heart. So the next point that we move on to is share his problems and console him whenever he has a problem, so that the burden may be raised from his shoulders. Next point, when he is in debt, assist him to settle it by earning some money without violating the laws of the Sharia. For example, you cannot now go out to work in an environment that Sharia doesn't permit you. However, if you can do something from home, or you can work in an environment that is conducive to, you know, parda, and it is within the parameters of Sharia, then try and do this with the intention of assisting your husband to pay off his debts. If you have some money of your own or some jewelry that can be sold, give this to him if he needs it, so that he may appreciate the fact that he is more valuable to you than these things. Never remind him about such favors afterwards, and do not even make an effort to remember such things. You get many women who, when the goings are good, they would be happy to assist the husband, right? Even if they have to give up their jewelry. Very few women would do it, right? But you get some women who, even if they have to give up their jewelry, they would give up their jewelry, they'll give the husband and say, look, if it means, I know of one lady, her husband had a business and, you know, they were in a problem, now they were in some debts and they couldn't get goods, right? So now they went to the supplier to ask the supplier to give them more goods on account. And the supplier said, look, you're already owing me so much, how can I give you all more goods? And then she gave her husband all her jewelry. And she told the husband, look, go and give it to the wholesaler and tell him to hold it as a guarantee. Right? Hold it as a guarantee. When we pay him whatever we're owing him, he can give us the jewelry back. Right? And this was exactly what was done, that she gave the jewelry away to the supplier and the supplier held it as guarantee. Right? Until they offset their debts, and then only did the supplier give the jewelry back. Now, one is a lady doing this, and after she does it, she must forget about it. Her reward is with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak knows what she has done. Her reward is with Allah. But now to do it, and then every time there's an argument, yeah, you don't appreciate anything I do. Don't you remember? I gave the jewelry. I did this. I did that. So then that's not healthy, right? Many a times you would find that father-in-laws do many things. For example, sometimes the girl's father may be wealthy, so he buys them a car. Maybe they don't have a car, right? So the girl's father buys them a car. Now, if the husband is using the car, for example, to go for a program that he wishes to attend, and the wife doesn't want him to go at that time, he will just leave the car in the garage. That's my father gave me the car, never give you the car. Now all those type of stories, that's unhealthy for a relationship. So whatever favors we do for anybody, we must do it. Whether it is our spouse, whether it is anyone, we do a favor, our reward is with Allah Ta'ala. We're not expecting anything in return from insan. Right? And then don't make ihsan jatlana. That means after that now, you remind the person that I did this for you and I did that for you. Then we are just throwing sand over all our good deeds. Number 3. Never neglect your duties to him and always do things that are in his best interests. Any decision that you make must be in the best interests of the family. You mustn't be a selfish thinker. You mustn't only think for yourself. You must think what will be in the best interest of the family. Try to do all your housework by yourself. Insha'Allah, Allah Ta'ala will soon show you easier days. Right? In the early days, if your husband cannot afford a full-time maid, right, then you do the work by yourself. It will assist your husband also, because if you're going to employ a full-time maid, now you have to pay the maid, right? And if he's not earning all that well, how is he going to afford to pay the maid? So do whatever you can do by yourself, right? And later on, you make dua to Allah Pak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your doors of rozi, and later on, you will see easier days. And if you don't see easier days in this dunya, then definitely if you did everything with ikhlas, in the hereafter you're going to see wonderful days. Spend as little as possible and try to save as much as you can. Right? You mustn't just go into the shop, no, I want that name brand, this, no. I mean, you need something, you need a shampoo, right? Check if there is a cheaper shampoo that you can utilize. Okay, if you know, if by using the cheaper shampoo it's going to damage your hair, then it's a different issue, right? If you have to use certain type of a shampoo, it's a different issue, right? But if you can make do with certain things, why go and waste money? Why go and be extravagant, right? Use the amount that is needed to be used. Don't use the amount that you desire to use. Right? If your savings are meager, never stop saving with the thought that this is too little. This is a mistake that many people make. Right? If you can save 10 rand a month, okay, now you say, hey, what? Where does 10 rand is going to get me? Where is 10 rand going to get me? Rather just use it up. Right? But if you think about it, if you're saving 10 rand a month, okay, 10 rand in today's times, let's look at 100 rand. Let's look at 100 rand. You say, let's save 100 rand a month. Now, 100 rand, even 100 rand is nothing in today's times. But say, for example, you're saving 100 rand. Now, 100 rand may look like little bit money. But in 1 year, it's 1,200 rand. Right? In 10 years, it's 12,000 rand. Right? So don't look at the small amount. A lot of people just, oh, it's such a small amount, what's the use saving? You know, when prior to Allah Pak taking us for Hajj, right? So we used to always sit and discuss, now, when we're going to end up going for Hajj? When are we going to ever afford to go for Hajj? And every year you look at the Hajj packages, the packages are gone higher, they've gone higher, right? Eventually, the 1 year, we made up our minds. We said, no, look, we are going to open an account, a Hajj savings account, right? And we are going to put money in there every month, even if it's 100 rand or 200 rand, 50 rand, whatever extra money we got, we're going to put the money in that account, and we will save up for Hajj. And that very year, the very year that we opened that account, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us for Hajj. Allah Pak took us for Hajj that same year. Obviously we didn't have the whole money saved up there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some asbab, and in that very same year we went for Hajj. So if we make an effort, if we show Allah Pak we're making an effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then create the means. He will create the asbab. Right? So don't stop saving with the thought that, oh, it's just too little. No. You must have a budget and say, right, every month we're going to put away so much. And every month put that money away. There will be barakat in there. Whatever you save will come in handy during rainy days. Because when days are dark, friends are always few. You will then be saved from the humiliation of stretching your hands out in front of others. Your husband will then be amazed at your prudence and farsightedness. That your husband is giving you a budget for the house. Right? He's giving you 3,000 rand, 4,000 rand. He's saying, right, run the affairs of the house. Now you think to yourself, you know what? We can manage on 3750. The 250, I'm going to put it away. Put it away and forget about it. Don't even think about it. Put it away. Just carry on putting it away. Now, for example, a time comes when one of the children are sick. Right? Now the child needs to be hospitalized. You need a few thousand rand. Now the husband is sitting. Now what are we going to do? How are we going to pay for this? And then you take out that shoebox, or you take out that money box, and you say, look, for the past 3 years, 4 years, you're giving me that 4,000 rand for the house. I've been putting away 250 rand. We need 4,000 rand for the child's medication, 5,000, 6,000, whatever. I've got the amount here, don't worry. Now imagine how happy your husband will get at that time. Sew your clothing by yourself. Today we don't want to hear about this. Right? Before, every home you went into, there was a sewing machine. The lady knew how to sew. Today's girls are just not interested. Talk about sewing. Yeah, talk about learning some fancy things. That we're very interested in. But when it comes to the basics, that we're not interested. A lady must learn to sew. Cook by yourself and look after the children by yourself. Look, I don't want to, you know, go on a tandem, right? I don't want to go on a tandem. But look, in today's times, fair enough, it's nice to learn some nice recipes, you know, some good, like now you're getting some visitors coming, or you want to give your husband a treat, or it's Eid day or something, and you know, you spend extra monies on ingredients, etc. However, when it comes to your day-to-day cooking, you must learn how to budget yourself in your home. Right? You can't now, that recipe needs Mediterranean sauce, it needs peri-peri sauce, it needs mustard sauce, it needs lemon and herb. To make that one chicken, you need 5 different bottles of sauce. Right? And each bottle of sauce is like 20 rand, 30 rand. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Money don't grow on trees, ma. Money doesn't grow on trees. And listen to me. Listen to me. We are going through difficult times. In our country and around the globe, right, there is an economic downturn. Right? You can see what the rand is against the dollar. Things are getting bad. So we need to become more simple. The way to combat this economic downturn is to become simple. Not to work harder. Right? If we think that no, we've got one shop now, things are bad, we need to open another shop. Or the husband is working, things are bad, now the wife must also work. No, there's no such thing. That we're only buying problems for ourselves. What we must do is become simple. Live within our means. Live within our budget. Right? You can't eat meat every day. Right? Fine. Let us do without the meat. Okay? When the goings were good, every day we were giving the child poloni sandwich to go to school, and we were giving the child samosas and pies and all these things. Okay? Times are tough now. Butter bread will have to do. Right? Butter bread will have to do. Jam bread will have to do. We can't afford the polonis. Leave the polonis out. Maybe once a week we'll have poloni. Right? Things were good. Came weekends. Yeah, we used to just order something from the restaurant. We used to just buy out, eat out, whatever. You know what? Things are bad now. Things are bad. Right? Okay? We can't do that. We'll cook and eat at home. We'll make the pizza at home. We'll make the tikka at home. Right? Before, when you used to go out to Durban, say, right, we'll just buy something and we'll eat it. Now times are bad. Okay, look, we'll make burgers at home and we'll carry it. Right? In the good old days, whenever the families went out, they used to go to the beachfront or go for a picnic or whatever, then they would cook the food at home. Right? They would cook one big pot of akhni or biryani or whatever it was. Right? And the whole family used to go away. Right? And then they would carry the paper plates, buy a couple of cold drinks or something, and everybody would dish out. Now sometimes, you know, in those days, right, there wasn't much deen. Now sometimes the whole family will go, 20, 30 people. And it still happens in today's times. You get families go out like this, right? And they cooked that one pot of biryani. Now if you really had to work out what that pot of biryani costed, hardly anything. I mean, how much is rice, a little bit of meat, potatoes, some spices, etc. That biryani would work out to a fraction of the cost if that whole family had to go now and buy from a takeaway or eat in a restaurant, etc. Right? That biryani pot works out to a fraction of the cost. Right? So we have to think like this. We have to think like this, that look, do we really need to incur that expense? Right? Let's not do it. Learn to make your pies at home. Learn to fill your own samosas. Learn to make your own par. Right? Don't only now worry about learning the fancy things. The ladies that are coming to teach you all how to cook, tell them to teach you all the basics. That's what you have to learn. You can't make a pot roast every day and put a couple of tins of Nestle cream inside there and all that. That becomes a very extravagant meal. It's fine to know it. Once in a while you do it. Alhamdulillah, Qurbani came. You got a nice shoulder there or a nice leg of lamb or something. You want to make a nice roast. Alhamdulillah, no problem. But you can't be doing that every day. Right? Now when it comes to Ramadan Sharif, everybody wants samosas and pies. There are so many this new generation girls out there. They don't even know how to fold a samosa. They don't know how to fold the samosa. They want to eat the samosa, but they don't know how to fold it. They want to eat the pies, but they don't know how to make the pastry. Right? We saw our mothers making the pastry at home. Right? Making the par at home. Today, if that lady knows how to fill a pie, right, but the pastry is bought, and that too, it's not just bought in a block. It must be bought, it must be cut also. And she will just put the filling there and fold it up. Put the filling and fold it up. Now all that costs money. All that costs more money. Now I'm drumming this into your head, that you may be seeing your mother doing that today. But maybe she wasn't doing it 20 years ago. Or maybe she was blessed, she could afford to do it even 20 years ago. But you don't know when you get married whether your husband is going to manage to do it. So you must learn these things. Our mothers made par at home. They made the par at home, the samosa par. Now it's like a thing, like you're crazy if you're making samosa par. Samosa par must be bought in the shop. Who makes samosa par today? Right? But it's expensive. It's expensive in the shop. Right? So you need to learn. Then come Ramadan time, now we're looking for all the ladies. Which lady which lady fills samosas? Who's selling pies? Now the people who are selling, to them it's a business. Yes, if you're wealthy and you can support them, by all means, I mean support them. But if you are not, if you're not wealthy, then learn how to do it yourself. It will work out to a fraction of the cost. Okay? Look after the children by yourself. This is another sickness, that our children, just take them and put them in a daycare. Put them in a creche, put them in a daycare. Today's mothers, even the Adimas, the child is 3 years old, 4 years old, no, send him now, preschool and creche, and you know, get them out of the house now. If we're not going to look after our own children, then what is our worth in this world? What is our worth in this world? If a mother can't look after, why is she called a mother? Because she is the one who brings up those children. Her lap is the first madrasa for that child. Now if she sees the child eating with the left hand from baby, no, but you put it in your right hand. Read Bismillah. As soon as the child learns how to talk a little bit, read Bismillah. When the child goes to sleep, even the child doesn't know how to talk, but she'll read the sleeping du'as. Child wakes up, she'll read the waking up du'as. She's putting the child's clothes on, she'll read the du'as. Doesn't all that have an effect? Now you take the child and put the child in a creche. Are they going to do all that for your child? No. Right? So the mother must look after her own children. Then reply gently when he asks a question. The husband asks a question, the wife must reply gently. Be gentle when he is angry. Right? This must be a thing between both spouses. I mean, if the wife is upset, then the husband must take it easy. If the husband is upset, the wife must take it easy. Now why two people must become mad? Continue fulfilling his rights, even if he is unhappy with the way you do things. This will please Allah. He keeps complaining. He can't find anything good in what you do. Right? You cook something, he got a problem with it. You make roti, he got a problem with it. You set the table in a certain way, he got a problem with it. You get some men, they ungrateful. Everything they find a problem with it. Never mind. You carry on doing your work. Because your reward is with Allah, not with your husband. Your reward is with Allah. You carry on. Allah will soften his heart one day. Do your share, even though it may be difficult. But you do your share. Be content with whatever he is content with. Right? Be content with whatever he is content with. If his way of spending a Saturday afternoon is having a good sleep. Right? So you be content with that. Be content with it. Right? One day he'll realize that, you know what? I need to take my wife out a little bit. But if you're going to nag him, he'll become stubborn. But if you are quiet and you don't say anything, and you make sabr and you make dua to Allah, Allah will change his heart. Always remember that. The person you must talk to is Allah. You talk to Allah. Be good and talk to Allah. Allah will sort things out for you. Spend his wealth with care and with a conscience. Always have a conscience. Not now, he's working, yeah, he gave me the money, I must just blast it. No, spend his wealth with care and with a conscience. Whatever your husband brings home is in your care. Whatever he brought home now, this now becomes your responsibility. You may either apply your inventiveness and capabilities to make your home valuable, or you could behave like a slovenly and lazy wife by laying everything to waste. Right? Your poor husband will have no say in the matter. Your home is what you make of it. A skilled and capable wife is never distressed. You see, your husband brought fruit. Right? Your husband brought home fruit. Now you take it, put it in a fruit basket, your masjid, you tell all the children, there's fruit in the fruit bowl, your masjid. Right? That fruit will lie there, it will get rotten, his money is getting wasted. Right? However, you know now, children are coming from madrasa, they're going to run for the chips and chocolates and sweets. No. That's unhealthy. Let me cut some fruit. Husband brought some lovely oranges. It's winter. They need the vitamin C. It will help them against the colds. Let me cut some nice oranges here. When they come from madrasa, they must eat the oranges instead of running for chips and getting chesty. Right? But you see, we too busy with the BB.
We too busy counseling other people. We too busy doing big things. It's below our dignity to cut oranges. We are big animals, man. Where are we going to cut oranges and all that? No, Ma. This is how you run a home. I explained to you before. You normally have 4 tons baked beans in your cupboard. Last month you used 3 tons. You got 1 ton left. Now you went shopping today, you bought 3 tons. Take the 1 ton from the back, put it in the front. Put the 3 new tons in the back. So you're rotating your stock in your grocery cupboard. Otherwise what's going to happen? This 1 ton that's there in the back is going to go bad. You're going to keep eating the new ones, and the one in the back is going to go bad. The husband will bring things in the home, he even forgot what he brought. After a couple of days he'll say, where's that? We brought the rolls the other day. What happened to the rolls? Little does he know, that thing went away rotten in the cupboard, you had to throw it in the rubbish dump. Where's this other thing? I brought something. Your husband brought a packet. He reached home just before Maghrib. He brought a packet, he left it in the house, jumped in the car, he's gone. By the time he comes after Maghrib, he forgot about that packet. He forgot he even brought the packet. Now inside the packet, maybe there's a fresh cream. Inside the packet, there may be something that's perishable. It's your duty now. Open the packet. Check. What did he bring? Is there anything that needs to get into the freezer? Is there anything that needs to get into the fridge? Your home is your domain. Your finger must be on the pulse. You must plan. You must know. You must budget. You have to run that home. That's why you are called a home executive. A home executive. Not for nothing. A housewife is not just housewife like you sound like. Hey, drab man, there's no degree here. No. A housewife, a home executive is a very important person. If you take your work seriously, you will run that home so efficiently, right? You will never be stressed, your husband will be a happy man, your children will grow up in a happy, healthy environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll continue with this inshallah tomorrow. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.